Author James Ransom joins us. He is the Children's Literacy Legacy Award winner and the author of the new book, A Place for Us. The book is a poignant, wordless picture book about an unhoused boy and his mother. Ransom's illustrations speak volumes as they convey not only what daily life looks like for this family, but also the love they have for each other. Again, the name of the book is A Place for Us, A Story and Pictures by James Ransom, and it's a great pleasure to welcome James Ransom to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure. My pleasure indeed.
What brought you to want to tell this story, and we can get into depth about the story, but to tell this story just using pictures and telling the story of a typical day in the life of a mother and son?
Well, like most stories that come to you, there's usually a number of things that sort of play in a part of making a coming up with the idea. But I would say the main reason, or the main sort of development of the story came about from my own personal life with my four children who are now young adults living on their own, thank God, and trying to find shelter. So, you know, I have one daughter who lives in Brooklyn, and she had just moved into an apartment. And she said it cost her almost $8,000 to get this apartment between, you know, 1 month security, a deposit, 1 month's rent. At that time, there were broker fees when she was looking for an apartment, so that added to it as well. And then the cost of moving, you know, from one apartment in Brooklyn to another apartment in Brooklyn. So that, and then another daughter who lives here in the Hudson Valley, who is, you know, having a hard time finding a place that's affordable for her and her boyfriend. So, you know, those things sort of in the back of my mind. And, you know, I'm an illustrator and I always like telling stories. I thought it would be interesting to do a wordless book because I'd never done one before. It's such a challenge. And when I do write books, which is not a lot, most of the books I do are with my wife, Lisa Klein Ransom. She writes and I illustrate. I usually do very sort of spare, very simple books. So I thought, well, let's take it a little further and do one with just pictures.
The pictures are absolutely beautiful. I mentioned that this is the story of a mother and son. They are unhoused, and you're bringing us through a day in their lives. And it quickly becomes apparent that that is what is happening here. Although in telling that story, how do you make that the case and spotlight that in a somewhat not an overt way?
Well, you know, the challenge was I think most films or books that really pull us in, we find some connection with the main characters. What I was trying to do is get people to sort of fall, see the normalcy of their lives. The fact that, you know, so he's picked up after school. He has a conversation with his mother as they're walking home about his day. They go have a meal at a restaurant, and then they go to the library. So at that point, you know, we sort of say, okay, this is pretty sort of, I can relate to all these things, except for on their way from the library, they stop in a park, and that's where they spend the night. So that was the goal, was to show that these are ordinary people. They're around us every day. They don't have any special signs in them that say, hey, I'm homeless, you know, and they could be in your classroom, you know, to eat lunch with them, and all those other things.
There's such a sweet moment where they're in the library and the boy is doing his homework. The mother is looking at books, maybe for herself, but it seems like almost picking up books for him. And yet that's a time to share. And obviously one of the things that this book shows is how important libraries are to our communities, for all members of our community.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we're in my household, we're big library fans. And so having them go to do a homework at the library was a perfect setting for this story. And I absolutely felt it was important to put that in there. So, yeah. Yeah.
When you look at the book, this is not a couple of two people to be pitied in any way. They're going about their day. This is how they live.
Yeah.
There seems to be joy on the face of the child. There seems to be joy in the face of the mother.
See, absolutely. That's exactly the point I want to make, that these, you know, every day they sit next to you. They go to school with you. They go to movie theaters. They do all these things that we do, except they may not have a place to sleep at night. You know, maybe some people sleep in their cars, some people sleep in train stations. It's just that they can't afford it. I mean, if you look at my daughter's situation, looking for an apartment in Brooklyn, if it's $8,000 to move and you only have $4,000, you only have $5,000, you're getting in how much, and you just have to save to get that other $3,000 or whatever to make that $8,000, then that's where they're at. They're trying to get that amount to get housing. But the point is, it's so expensive to find decent housing in so many areas in this country. It is not just in cities, although I highlight cities in this book.
I was also struck, I mentioned the joy, but there are two panels where the mother is like looking out, right, is just making sure that the child is safe and making sure that the situation they're in is a safe one.
Well, sure. You know, in the park, I believe that's the scene you're referring to. Absolutely. You know, you just sort of woke up in the morning, the sun's rising. You just want to look around and make sure that everything you had is still there, that you are, everything's safe. You know, there are animals in parks. You know, sometimes I live here in, you know, Rhinebeck, and sometimes I go to my backyard and I take a second look around because, you know, I see interesting things wander through my yard in certain times of the day. So, yeah, this is a sense of just securing, make sure and everything is fine with everyone before they move on with their day.
This is a young boy who seems to have a very deep connection and a deep relationship with his mother. And I mean, one of the things I was thinking about is how, like all kids, you go through the ups and downs of a relationship with your parents, of mm-hmm. what that will be like for these two in the future.
Well, I can't answer that question. There is a loving bond that I really did want to have be an obvious something that we could see, and as we flip through the book, I wanted this to be as what is normal of. I probably shouldn't even use that word, but you know, something that middle class Americans who sleep in a house every night can sort of relate to, and sort of feel a connection to that. And this could be them if it wasn't for, you know, just a few things changing. And, I mean, just the other day, I had to go into a store to get something, and I looked at the car I parked next to, and it was filled with objects except for the single seat in the front where the person drove. So the question is, are they a hoarder? Possible, you know, or maybe they're sleeping in that car. Maybe that's all their belongings are in that car, they're using that as a place to sleep. These things happen every day in so many cities and towns all over the country, and they don't stand out always. The people don't stand out. They look like normal people going about their day, and that's what I was really trying to sort of focus on.
What do you see as the audience for this book, and how it is used with a parent or guardian with their child?
Well, my first thoughts were always was sort of this book being used in schools, in elementary schools. This is a book that teacher would flip through, and then it would stimulate conversation. I think it in addition, parents and grandparents sharing a book with kids is also something I like to see the book in those hands as well. So the idea of just starting a conversation, maybe they live in that situation, maybe they know someone who lives in that situation, just something to consider. But it's really a starter of a conversation, not to sort of give any solutions, not to think that all homeless people live in shelters. I guess that was probably another myth I wanted to sort of deal with this book was, not everyone goes to a shelter, and shelters aren't always the best place for people. But a lot of people sleep on their friends' couches, grandparents. They live for a short time, or they do cars, other places, bus stops and things like that. It's been nights at.
Do you have a sense, as you do a book like this, of why this is something that is not covered, certainly in books in general, but certainly in children's literature?
I guess usually when I get an idea, I do a little research because I feel like, well, someone else had to have done this. And so I was a little surprised to find out there's very few books on this subject. But I feel that it's up to artists to seek out these things. I've also been sort of trained, not trained is probably not the right word, but I've been introduced to this topic for a while. I've done some work for the National Labor Association. That's probably not the exact title. They do calendars every year. And it was through conversations with the person who would contact me to do a calendar they would give out, and they would auction the artwork to raise money. Mm. And he said, a lot of people they're dealing with are people who just can't afford a place to stay. They're working poor. And so that's in the back of my mind as well. And working and doing the images for that calendar for maybe 3 to 4 years. And then when I was teaching, I also gave an assignment to my students. And we had a little contest where the best student in the class, the best piece, they would choose one piece from the class to print in the calendar. So it's through my working with the Labor Association that I was opened up and discovering the working poor, which I hadn't really considered before. So it's things like that that sort of add to the sauce that ends up making a book like this.
What do you hope that even in schools or if integrated into a family of what people take away from the story told?
It would be is a dialogue is started, and people maybe make some efforts to help, to volunteer, to donate, but really to start a conversation about this is probably the thing that the small hope that I have is to have dialogue, and dialogue is a great place to start.
The name of the book is A Place for Us, A Story in Pictures by James Ransom, and it is published by Nancy Paulson Books, an imprint of Penguin Random House. James, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you being with us. Congratulations on a beautiful book and the gorgeous job that you've done, and I so appreciate you being with us and sharing with us this morning.
Well, thank you. I'm a big fan of the show and a big fan of you, of course. So you're welcome to call anytime to chat about any book that I do.
Well, I look forward to it. We'll make it a go. James Ransom, thank you very much. Be well.
All right.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Take care.
Again, the name of the book is A Place for Us, A Story in Pictures by James Ransom. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.